The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was in college, my wife and I had a long-distance relationship. And there was one break where she was at home with her parents, and I was at home at my parents' house, and I decided to travel to Aiken to see her. It was about a 3.5-hour drive from Hickory where I was, and so I went down there, got there about 9 o'clock at night on a Friday, and the next Saturday morning, I got a phone call. And this was before the days of cell phones, so it was actually at the landline, if you can remember having those. And the phone rang, and it was my father. Now, you got to understand, my father hates using the telephone. He's always hated using the telephone. And so for him to be calling me meant that something had happened. And something was about to happen. I found out that what we did not know when I drove down to Aiken was that all of a sudden a snowstorm was rolling into my hometown and school would be starting beginning the next week and I needed to get home. So I told him, all right, well, I'll be on my way. Well, me being me, I hung out with my then girlfriend, now wife, for a couple hours, you know. Besides, I had just woken up and I had only been there for overnight. And so a couple hours later, I called back to my parents' house and said, all right, I'm about to leave. Well, folks, my father was none too pleased that day because what he told me was that as soon as he hung up the phone, he looked out the window and it was already snowing.
Pouring
snow. So I got in my car and I started driving. And so I drove down I-20, went up 77 through the blizzard that we had, you know, sort of like the blizzard we had this past Thursday here in Lexington. Only the fact that it wasn't even raining there. When I left Aiken, it was blue skies. Clouds started to appear as I drove up 77 and got closer to Charlotte. And no lie, God's honest truth, at the South Carolina-North Carolina line, it started snowing. Guess which side it was snowing on? Yeah. And so as I drove farther and farther into North Carolina, more and more snow was accumulating on the roads. And so I drove up I-77 and hit I-40, which goes right into Hickory. Instead of going to my parents' house, I decided to go straight to my apartment. And by the time I hit I-40, that you could not see anything but white. The road was white, the ground was white, the trees were white, and I was terrified. I actually saw an 18-wheeler go from one side of the road all the way into the woods on the other side of the road. Thankfully, no one was hurt, no one was hit, but it was the scariest thing I think I've ever seen. And I was white-knuckling it the whole way. Now, I knew how to drive in snow. I grew up in the foothills, so it wasn't my first time, but it was dumping snow, and I was so scared. Clearly, I made it there safely, but I was so terrified. When's the last time you were really terrified about something? I mean, when we were younger, it happened all the time, right? You know, they would cut the parents would cut the lights out and we'd be afraid of the dark. Or every time a storm rolled in, I knew that every time when I was a kid it was storming that a tornado was right behind it to take me to Oz. You know? Some of you may still be afraid of storms. But as we get older, there's less and less things that we're afraid of. But let's be honest, we still know that feeling. And we still experience it. Maybe we're afraid because we've been caught driving in situations that weren't comfortable to drive in. Or maybe we've had to go have surgery. Or perhaps we've been waiting to hear back a doctor's report for ourselves or a loved one. Maybe we're afraid that we're going to lose our job that we love, or that something in our life is falling apart and we're afraid what's going to happen there. Or maybe we're just riding a roller coaster and petrified that we are going to fall out of it. These are all things that we fear, right? We know what it feels like when our pulse starts to race and our palms get sweaty. We know fear. And the disciples did too. And we heard about it in this morning's gospel reading. Today we heard a very familiar story. If you've come to church at any amount of time, you've probably heard the Transfiguration story. In at least one of the gospels, we read it every single year on this day, Transfiguration Sunday. And so what happened was, 6 days after Peter had declared that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, 6 days after he decided to tell Jesus what that meant and was told in no uncertain terms he didn't know what he was talking about, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a high mountain all by themselves. Now, we don't know what high mountain this was. What we know is that they were totally separated from the rest of the world. They were up a high mountain. There were no people up there trying to get healed. There was nobody trying to hear Jesus' message. There was nobody trying to clamor for their attention. It was just them, all by themselves, up this high mountain. And while they were there, all of a sudden, Jesus' face started shining like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. One of the other Gospels actually says that it was so white that no bleach could make it that white. And so Jesus has transfigured right before their very eyes. And then Moses and Elijah show up, representing the law and the gospels. Now these guys had been dead for hundreds, if not thousands of years at this point. And they're just talking to Jesus. Now I don't know about you, but I'm searching what emotions I might have at this point in time. And fear would probably be at the top of that list. But no. Peter goes, "This is pretty cool. Let's stay here." So he says to Jesus, he goes, "You know, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'll make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And as he's saying that, fog rolls in. And a voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. In him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, folks, I have a question for you. How many of you would be slightly terrified if I started glowing like a glowworm or a radioactive person right now? Yes. How many of you would be slightly agitated if two dead people showed up and had a conversation with me? Now, how many of you would be afraid of fog? As many times as I've heard this story, this is the first time it really hit me. The disciples were not afraid of the things that they should have been afraid of, but when the fog rolls in and they hear a voice, they fall to the ground in terror. Why? Why is that? So I started looking into this whole concept of fear, and I came upon this survey that was done by the Chapman University Survey on American Fears. And these are the top fears that they listed. Public speaking. Winner. Heights. I get that one. Bugs, snakes, or other animals. Drowning. Blood or needles. Anyone? Yes? Claustrophobia, flying, strangers. It's a good fear to have. Zombies, darkness, clowns, and ghosts. So we've got more people are afraid of zombies than darkness. One thing actually happens, right? How many of you have been in the dark before? How many of you have seen a zombie? Yeah, me either. So these are the things that we're afraid of. But as I look at this list, the root cause of all of these fears is the same root cause as was shared by Peter, James, and John. Because what we fear the most, I believe, is change. They weren't afraid when they saw Jesus being transfigured. They weren't afraid when they saw two dead people talking to them. But when a voice said, "This is my son, listen to him," they knew that that meant things were about to change. Peter already said he wanted to stay there. He wanted things to be as they were, but they knew what it meant for them to come down. Jesus had just told them 6 days before, "The Son of Man is to undergo great suffering, to be crucified, and he's going to be killed." And that meant change. And if you look at all of these, public speaking, are we really afraid of public speaking, or are we afraid that we might mess up and people's perception of us might change? Heights. We're not afraid to be high. We're afraid to then be low, right? We're afraid of that changing, and then our status in living might change, right? We might actually not be living, or our way of life might seriously change from injury. Zombies, we're afraid that the whole world might change at that point. And if you've ever seen The Walking Dead, you'll know what I'm talking about. But we fear change more than anything. That's what we fear. Because we know what things are like now. They may not even be going well, but at least we know how they are. But when we're talking about change, that's some scary stuff. And that's exactly what the disciples were faced with on that high mountain. They were faced by having to listen to Jesus. And that meant that they were going to have to go places that they were not comfortable going. That they were going to have to do things that they weren't comfortable doing. They were going to have to witness things that they surely didn't want to have to witness. Their lives and the life of this world was going to change. And it scared the mess out of them. And it scares us too, doesn't it? I mean, how many of us are paralyzed by fear? You know, there used to be, you've heard of flight or fight scenarios. They've actually added one. It's freeze. They've noticed that there are three responses. It's not just fight or flight anymore. Now, more and more people show that they are frozen, where they do nothing. They're waiting for the situation to change because they're afraid of the change that's there. See, my friends, we too are afraid of this, just as the disciples were. Because the reality is, Jesus Christ being in our lives means that things change, individually and collectively. I mean, right now at this church, there's a whole lot of change going on. If you didn't know, we've got an upstairs that's been, 2 months ago, it was nothing but blank. We've got walls, they're painted, we've almost got a ceiling, there's electricity, there's all kinds of stuff up there. And it being there, that's not just what's going to change, but the things that go in there are going to change us. The stuff that we've got going on in Pisgah Park back behind us, that changes us. It means that we're going to have folks showing up here that may not be who we've always seen. And if you look around this room, guess what? 5 years ago, there's a lot of people in here that you had never seen in your life. This place is changing. We are changing. And that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It means change, and that is terrifying. But listen to how he responds to his disciples. Jesus goes over and touches them and says, "Get up. Do not be afraid." As I was preparing for this sermon, I actually did a search to to find out how many times the phrase "do not be afraid" comes up in Scripture. The number is 70. That may not mean a lot to you, but actually 70 is a very significant number in the Bible, because two perfect numbers, 7 and 10, come together, which means that 70 signifies the perfect order. Now, maybe you think it's a coincidence that "do not be afraid" just happens to be 70 times in Scripture, but I'm going to have to say that's probably God. That the perfect order in this world is one of no fear, trusting that God is in control, that God is with us, that we can trust that we are not alone, and that no matter what change may happen, He is with us. This Lent, we're going to be taking a journey, and the theme of our Lenten series is going to be "The Cross Changes Everything." And so we're going to be talking to different people, if you know what I mean, who have been changed by the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I want to invite you all to come and experience that. And also, as you journey through Lent, I want you to think about something in your life that you need to change. Something that you need to do to make a change. Because now is the time to step into that fear, to listen to Jesus, because He is the Son of God. He is the Beloved. And we are His followers. Do not be afraid, my friends. God is here. Amen.